Hello everybody, this is Elisabetta speaking. This is the ninth episode of She at Work, and today I will be talking to my friend Laura, who's a professional in the field of control and internal auditing in a firm operating in the health sector. Hello Laura.
Hi Ellie. Thank you for being here today.
Hi Laura, it's a real pleasure. Actually, for those who are listening, Laura is one of my oldest friends and we've been knowing each other since the early 90s, so it's a very special occasion today. Laura, so you operate in the health sector and you have managing responsibility. So you manage a team of controllers and internal auditors. Tell us about your field. What is internal auditing and control?
Well, I think they are two clearly separated departments, and in controlling, normally we used to take the KPIs, so the most important information of the company, in order to evaluate how it's doing and where are the potential improvements areas to be taken into account or to be changed. No? For instance, if we see that some of in the company where I am now, so if we see that some of our clinics are doing bad, so I mean they have a very big fixed cost and they don't get the amount of treatments we need to pay all the fixed costs, so we try to propose new processes or to propose changes in order to have black numbers and not red ones. And in the internal audit field, we are more into the processes of the company. So we have to control if the processes are being followed the way they should, and moreover in this healthy sector there are some processes in the treatment area that are really sensible and have to be followed. And also we try to analyze each type of clinic, because we have a big clinic, small clinics, we have centers where we don't treat, only visit. And then we have to take different things into account or to be more cautious in different areas. So we try to be a little bit flexible, because it doesn't make any sense to prove some processes in small ones and such things.
And you mentioned KPI, these are key performance indicators. Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Yes. Just in case someone is not used. How did you get into this field?
Well, it was I didn't want to. So I started in a bank in Andorra. And I want, at that time, it was very popular to get into the stock market, no? And then market. So I wanted to be there just to call, and I've seen a lot of films, I think, and then I want to be there to call to buy and actions and so on, no? But then when I got there, there has been a last minute change in the area of controlling. So they told me, well, you will start there and then let's see, no?
You were going to work in an organization in this other field, and then the same organization moved you.
Yes, because like I said, it was a bank, and they had a big problem, because the controlling department, it was a really small bank. So the controlling department was made of one person, mm-hmm. and they took another person to substitute this one, but it didn't work. So they told me, well, just start here and let's see if we can move you in a few months. But we need someone there that is good with numbers, you know. So I did it, and then I love it. So in the process of being in the controlling, there had been also a vacancy in internal audit, And since I was working a lot of hours and I was working a lot, they told me, okay, try to do both. You have to imagine a really, really small bank. We were like, when I started, like 50 employees. And when I left this company, 3 years later, there were like 100 or 120. So it was growing fast, but it was really small. So I could take over both departments.
And why did you enjoy this shift? But you know, it wasn't planned, but you said you loved it. Why did you get so much into it?
Because it gives you the opportunity to know the business really good. You get into everything, so you get in detail, and then you know. So I realized that what I like the most is analyzing. I like the most, so I'm like a kind of, I don't know how it's called in English, but a kind of person to be in a bibliothèque and to study the whole day. That's me. So.
Yeah. I know. I've been knowing for a long time.
Yeah, so I guess it was perfect because I was the whole time analyzing and making proposals and then talking to the managers who at that time and in this company were really, really good. And people just, you know, growing from the very beginning. So people who started from a very low level and got there to be the managing director of a bank. So they were really good and I learned a lot. And that's what makes me better. So, you know, you're surrounded with people that are good, that wants to be better every day. And I got the opportunity just to know the business really, really good.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, to be with good people in a place that's expanding and to be thrown in the middle of the sea and have to work it out, I think it's a very good work experience. So.
Yes.
So you said it's very interesting. Can you give us some real or invented examples in which you show us how control and or internal auditing are interesting?
I mean, as you mean, so an example of a project or something like
yes, that? Yes, something that you found. Oh, that was fun, that was interesting. Yeah, but concrete, like a real example. Mm-hmm.
So for instance, when I got there, there weren't any system, so there were nothing for controlling area. So what I did is to get into the system where it was being used in the branches to put all the information of the clients, you know, the money they had, the interest they got, and so on. So I started a project with IT, and they got me just the raw data of the system. So let's say the lists of the patients and the information about them. And I put this information, I started to learn how to work with Access. And I put all this information in the Access. And then I realized that we had products being for us, meaning a loss. Mm-hmm. So I sent it to the management and I said, look, all these products that we think they are good are bad for us. So let's try to offer something else, which can be also good for the client, but also for us. So because we were having just struggles with the margin.
Okay, yeah, because otherwise the business is not viable, so you cannot provide value to the client and not to the firm. And
yeah,
you mentioned a lot of the work is about spreadsheets, ITs, Access databases. What other tools do you use?
After this first experience, I got into MicroStrategy. This is like a data warehouse, let's say, based on SQL information. So this helps us just to translate the information into sheets that we can work. And that's the only, this one, and then there was another one, called in based on Oracle, so that help us to make the budget, because we had many Excel sheets that at the end of the day were very, very difficult to put together. So I work also with a tool that help us to do the budget. But I must say that in controlling, for my experience, there had been no big changes in the system or in IT tools, so in the software area. So that's why I'm thinking after 15, 17 or even 20 years after, I'm thinking now it's coming. So now we'll experience a very big change, because I was working, I learned how to deal with Excel. I'm a really proficiency in Excel, and I work with all these other programs, but I must say it's not enough. So I think there are coming a very good and new softwares that had to be adapted
to each
company.
Big data, artificial intelligence, this type of...
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I mean, it's coming to change everything. Okay, you, through data, you do this analytical work, you find the issues, the problem, you think of improvements. How does that get transmitted throughout the chain of the company? So the branches of the bank or the clinics or wherever you, whichever business you're working in.
Yeah, for instance, in my actual company, what we did is we take this data, as you said, and then we put it in a way, because this is for me the most important thing to do and difficult thing to do. You have a lot of information and you have to choose which one is critical to make the change. And it seems to be not, it seems that the most difficult thing to do is to gather the information, but the most difficult thing to do for me is just to pick up the most important issues. Because we are talking of people who are, in my actual company, who are optickers, so who are not used to work with this sort of information. You know, they treat the patients, they put the information of the eyes values and so on into a computer, but they are not used to work with such KPIs and so on. So I have to pick up information that they can understand.
That's very interesting.
Because I couldn't also work with their information, you know, because I'm not prepared for that. I don't have any background on medical issues, you know. So I have to translate to them as the same way they have to translate to me when we talk about deeper details, you know. So my most, I think where I'm good at is to understand what the other people can understand, because you can have the best information in the world, but if you are not able to translate it, to communicate it, then you have nothing.
It's interesting, because in the last podcast I was talking to another friend, and she's an academic, and we were talking about knowledge transfer, and one of the problems in universities is exactly to translate what you know, which is a lot, into something that is of more immediate use. And actually this issue of knowledge transfer, it's actually very important across all economic sectors, it seems, no? And the ability to mediate with different fields of knowledge or different jargons or different expertise it seems to be very important all across the spectrum. So what do? You go and visit these people and you talk to them. How do you make sure that this knowledge is transferred?
Well, I did like a kind of report, monthly report for each clinic. And then we presented it in a meeting all together, and then I visited each one of them just to explain them what meant all the data that were there. I tried to put less data as possible, and then I everything that I did and I display there. I tried to make it in a way that they can change, so that they can make something to change it. You know that we have like a conversion rate, and this means from the patients are coming, which ones start buying our treatment, you know, so that they can see, okay, if this is a bad number, what I have to do is to talk to my doctors and see which is the problem, why we are not selling, let's say, selling these treatments. So the important thing is to give them numbers that they can change. Because if I do a really accurate statistic, but they can not understand it, or they cannot even see where I can change something, it doesn't worth it.
Yeah,
you know, so I send this more accurate statistic to the board of managers, but the other one helps me to reach the numbers that the board of managers needs.
Okay.
So what I do is just make sure that they understand what should I change. So for instance, in some clinics they realize, oh, I have to manage the agenda in some way different. Here I need the operations department to help me, and then they realize we have to put less appointments to this doctor, because otherwise he goes crazy, you know, and the other one we can put a little bit more to this one. Or there is a problem between doctors in a clinic, and if they don't understand each other, then there is a problem, because normally all these KPIs, all these numbers normally are done, the problem, the raw problem is usually communication, conflicts between employees. So normally it's always like this, or every now and then we have a problem, okay, we have a doctor who cannot sell, it's unable to sell, it's not good, so let's try to put him in another kind of tasks, or let's say it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. So optimizing resources. The doctor trained to be a doctor, and he, I guess, is more comfortable doing one thing, so let's do something that is comfortable for her or for him, and that is better for everyone.
Yeah.
You mentioned the issue of conflict, and I think auditors are very much associated to conflict in the popular culture. No, what is the role of conflict in your job? How do you handle it? I mean, you mentioned it is very it's very present, but also in the way you work, your objective is not to create conflict. Your objective is to create value. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, well, I made a very big change between my first work experience and my last one. So in the first, I was like an internal auditor, as we know, in the public, in all the companies. But then I changed it, and I realized that I wasn't getting anywhere just telling my colleagues, this is not done as the way we need it, so let's change it. And I go to my home and I don't care what they do. So I change my way of working into more, when I got in the company where I am now, I saw there were structures there. So I just try to change the idea. And then I said, okay, we come here to help you. So we know that it's very difficult for you because we don't have a lot of process we need. So let me come here and see how we can help you. Or I was like, I put myself in the middle between clinics and board of managers. So tell me which problems do you have to follow this process, you know? So let's see if these problems are real, can be changed, or maybe the process must be changed. So this is the kind of change I did. and actually works much more better because we have an external auditor to prove us objectively. But I think the internal audit must be very more in a colleague sense to be seen, because otherwise you don't get anything. Because when they know that you come, they change everything and then they just act. So and it doesn't get me anywhere. So you know what, we have a very good report, but that's all. And we get nowhere. We didn't get anything. Mm-hmm. So that's why I thought, okay, let's put it like a help, like a support. And since I am also working in the controlling, so both of them, I think I got it. Because in the clinics, more than counting the money they got, there is no other process where we can be objective, you know. So I obviously count the stock and the money, but farther than these two things, I try to help and to make them see. For some processes, I just give them away. So I said, okay, you are right, this is too much work for nothing, leave it to me, so I will try to give that away from you, so to take that away from you, so you have time to do more important things. So we try to bargain, to trade, to say, okay, but do this one. So for instance, they had to fill a list with all the patients they canceled, that canceled the treatments, no? And the list was really long and really, really difficult to work with. So I said, okay, let's take it away, but please make sure that you put another thing in the system correctly. So they had the impression I was being comprehensive. So they did what we cared the most, and we take it away a thing that it wasn't important at the end of the day. So I try to make a trade.
And also, it seems to me that actually all these things, they're difficult to get unless you visit the clinics. No? Yeah, you cannot just you cannot appreciate all these details just by the numbers, even though I mean the numbers are very important, but let's say the information that gets to you through Access and Excel sheets and, you know, the quantitative stuff doesn't tell you the whole picture.
Of course, this is a very important part of the work, to visit, or at least to have. Now with this Corona situation, at least to have Zooms, to have conferences with them, just to put them in an environment where they can feel trusted and they can explain you the problems, the real problems they got. Because normally they have got a lot of problems that you don't know or you didn't even think about. So it's really important. It's a really important part of the job to be there, and it's where you learn how the business works.
Which takes me to the next question. Okay, we mentioned at the beginning we all started with your quantitative skills and so on, but actually you also need a lot of people skills, no? I wonder, what would you tell to someone who is interested in entering this field of work? What would you tell them about what they're gonna need?
They're gonna need a very, very good communication skills. And also, I don't know, to have the ability to put themselves into the other shoes. You know, so it's very important that you understand that the other person, normally, there are always exceptions, but normally wants to do everything right.
Yeah.
So they are not doing it wrong on purpose. So you have to be really comprehensive and to have very good communication skills And like I said, you have to put into others' shoes. It's very, very important.
And again, you have managing responsibilities, so you have found yourself in the situation in which you need to hire people. What do you look when you hire someone?
I look that they always seek for the solution and not for the guilty. So, you know, I always put them in the interview into a situation where there is a conflict with another colleague, and how do they manage it. So it's for me really important to have people that they that make a plus and not a minus. So
for instance, if you have a situation, okay, if you have a situation in which you have two equally skilled quantitative analysts for control and auditing, and one is more socially skilled or oriented to handling conflict better, okay, that's the choice is made. But if you have if you have a situation in which one is very good at handling conflict and has a good attitude, but his technical skills are a bit immature, are a bit unripe, and on the other hand, you have someone who's technically proficient, but actually doesn't have the right attitude, who would you choose?
Yeah, the second case is more real than the first one. Because normally when you put everything is the same, but it's not, it doesn't happen. But I would, of course, I would take the one with social competence, of course, who can deal with conflict, because you can talk. You can talk the technical skills can be taught, but the social ones are more difficult to transmit. So I think you have to be really careful to choose people, not only having a very good social skills, but also to be positive, or to maintain this collegiality between peers, between colleagues, and to seek for the solution and not for the problems or the people causing the problem, because otherwise with the time it's very, very bad for the company. So I've experienced that you can have a good colleague who seems to be sympathetic with the other one and so on, but on the deep she is trying to be the chief, just contaminating the others, you know what I mean? It tears everything apart.
Well, I think that's very interesting, and it has come out in different interviews of the kind I've been doing, the attitude is more important than skills. You have to have the skills, but somehow, this can be identified and trained better if the company is already working in the field. Whereas attitude, really, you should have worked it out before starting your career. You can always improve. But certainly, it's very uncomfortable to work or to live in a situation in which there are people trying to find culprits and being suspicious about you. That doesn't lead to grow or to anything positive. Okay, so I think we are coming towards the end of our talk. And I like to end up these conversations with a few three take-home messages. I think I really liked the importance of being non-conflictual. So this ending part of the conversation, I think it was very, very interesting, especially in a field which is at least in the popular culture associated to conflict, no? Because when the auditors come, people start sweating. I also like the interdisciplinarity of the job. So the way you have explained how you need to go and talk to people, that you're not going to get all the information that you need just by looking at the spreadsheets, and that both things are very important. And I find that relevant because I always associated, again, in my imagination, this job to a kind of very dry profession. Again, this is prejudice, no? But in my mind, there were just people looking at spreadsheets and never interacting with each other, and that just didn't make it interesting, actually, for me, because I'm very sociable. I'm also very analytical, but it just seemed to me that it was a place in which I wouldn't be happy, because I would always be behind the spreadsheets. Instead, it's not like that. And I think most important, and that comes to the fact that we are approaching age 40.
Okay, yeah, let's move on.
That's one. But then you have the opportunity to look back to a quite long experience, and in your case very long, because you started in this job very very young, and then you see the evolution, and the evolution, I mean, it's a sign of maturity to reflect and say, hey, I don't think the way I was doing it was right. I think this is much better. And going from, let's say, controlling to caring, training and helping, I think it's it's been an interesting journey for you, and it's certainly been interesting for us to listen. So with that, I want to ask you, do you have any other comment? Or
yes, that I learned when I started, I thought that I was going to be the best one, to be the chief of everything, you know. I was so good, and I studied a lot, and I worked hard. So I was changing everything in the company when I got there. And then I realized that you have to be a good person, have to be good to the others. There will be some who will not respond to you, but it doesn't matter, because the ones who respond to you, it was what will make you grow and what you make you not better in your job, but also not only better in your job, but also better person, and you will be happier. So I think for me, it's been very, very important, this change, to see that there are more important things that to prove that you are good or that you are the best. And you learn more from other people being at your side than just showing them that you are good. You know what I mean? So I think that makes me a better person, and it made me a better professional indeed. And the people who are being just thinking about themselves, or just thinking about how to show off, I think that's on a long way, they are not successful.
So we can agree that actually for you, auditing and control have also been a spiritual journey. So on that line, I want to thank you very much, Laura. It's been a pleasure. I've learned a lot through this talk, and it's always nice to talk to you. And thank you very much. I hope we'll be friends for the next 50 years again.